Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They had him in the backfield in the red zone, and they motioned him into the slot as they're hiking it, and then he hits a little like up and out, and boom, Mac Jones throws a perfect ball for that two-minute touchdown right before halftime, and it was like, where's that red zone play been for the last 2 years? I've been dying for that. Give me more of that. Like that's a kind of a play. That's so much more effective than just, hey, let's bunch this up and hand it off to McCaffrey in between the tackles. Both count for one touch, and he might get a touchdown and break through three tackles on that goal line type of a, you know, two tight end set with a fullback. Or I could just throw it to him in the flat and he doesn't get touched. Like, give me that touch all day over the, you know, force feeding him into the meat of the defense.
Well, that's what I think we're learning. And it seems like maybe it's because they've won, but it almost looks like Shanahan is recognizing in real time is that they don't need him to be the 2023 version to still win football games. And it's almost like I don't think he's as good as he was 2 years ago. I mean, just at his age, what I've seen so far. But he was getting the ball in a situation where they're up two scores in the fourth quarter, like every single time in 2023. This year...
Bonte would fight me on that. He's like, actually, remember you saying this the other day? And I went back and I looked. I'm like, dude, when you're up multiple scores, stop just handing off to your prized possession running back in between the tackles. That's what... This is where I lost. I'm sorry, let me cut you off.
No, you're good.
This is where Jordan Mason should have been utilized in 2023. And to me, the big revelation of 2024 was, why couldn't this guy get on the field?
Oh, Garendo?
No, Mason.
Oh, Jordan
Mason.
In
those situations you're describing.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest area where Mason struggled was the red zone.
And yeah, no doubt.
I think that's still a reason why they sucked so much last year between the inside the 20s.
See, like old school football fan, like if I name Zach Crockett or Ron Dane, you know, there are these specific short yardage running backs that would take on the pounding. Tyrone Wheatley comes to mind, right? Like specific dudes. They had a guy, the Niners, back when Harbaugh was here, Boobie Dixon. Boobie Dixon was their third running back. You're laughing. Boobie Dixon was their third running back. It was to give Frank Gore, like, a breather and, like, hey, we're going to pound Boobie Dixon in between the tackles here. And then, you know what also we're going to do? We're going to have Kendall Hunter, and he's going to be our change of pace guy. And we know that if we want to go anywhere of significance, 1,700 yards from Frank Gore is probably not the best route, which is his career high, 1,695 with North Turner. The best route is probably like 1,200 yards, and these other guys get the other 500 yards somehow, and we save him so he's fresh for January. And we pick and choose our spots of when to use him. Like, different guys can take different roles on the team. Like, they're specialists.
Well, that's what I find interesting is that they're using him less than they did in 2023 when he was a better version of himself. And they're still getting results.
Yes.
You know, part of it is I think the opponents that they've played, the Saints are not as good. I think Seattle's better than we gave them credit for in that first week. But to me, like, looking at how they're going to keep McCaffrey fresh this whole season, I think Kyle Shanahan so far deserves an A+. Like, the fact that they've gotten the most out of him while he still has not really needed outside. I mean, 31 touches is a lot, but last week, like, they had a backup quarterback. They used him less, and they won that game, I think, more comfortably than they did week one. Like, that's the needle that it feels like we've been asking Shanahan to thread for, God, really since McCaffrey got here, and he hasn't. So you got to give him credit for that. I also think that, to what it says to me about this team, Shasky, compared to last year or the year before, is I trust their defense a lot more.
Way more.
And I think Shanahan does too. I think that's a big part of it also. Whereas in 2023, so if he's using McCaffrey late in the fourth quarter, it's because that's the battering ram to end this game.
Yeah.
I'm going to win the game with my offense, put it out of reach. Now, because he has more faith and trust in Robert Saleh, that not getting 6 points on every single, it's not the end of the world.
Did you see what their last possession on offense before the kneel downs, what they did? They threw the ball.
Yeah.
I don't think they do that. Maybe they do in 2023, but like, they threw the ball. And I think it's a testament to the faith they have in the defense that if they do stop the clock, they don't have a completion, whatever, they have to go three and out, they do trust that they'll get a stop. 2 weeks in a row, Evan, they've gotten a stop with the game on the line.
Already did it.
Yeah, 100%.
Sorry, I didn't know what was going on.
No, Sam was in my ear talking to me about something. It's, I think that, you know, McCaffrey is a guy that is, his health is of the utmost importance, but I also think that Shanahan has to have a little more understanding of, all right, there are three phases. Special teams is coming into focus. The defense is something that you can, like, Shasky, if I ask you this question, and 888-957-9570, if I ask you what is the identity of this team through 2 weeks, it's early, but is it more offense or defensive to you?
I think it's a resilient defense, hard-hitting defense, I think, more than the offense.
I agree. Like, if you look at, and again, it's through 2 weeks, but the offense right now is scoring 22 points per game. Last year, they scored 23 points per game. The difference is last year they were like 29th in defense, and so far they're top 10 in virtually every single category.
Evan, they gave up 2,200 yards on the ground last year, 4.4 yards a carry.
That's a lot.
They were awful, and like 30 touchdowns or 25 touchdowns, whatever it was, on the ground. And Kamara ran actually pretty well in this game. Really patient, and I thought they kind of got away from him. Here's the thing with me, the biggest element of the defense last year to this year, it's two games. They got a lot of young guys, D. Winters, Siegel, Upton Stout, you know, obviously all the defensive linemen that they're playing. The back end hasn't blown huge coverages for wide open looks. That was a consistent theme last year. The back end, what are we doing? Like, we're either pressing too close, we're in the wrong coverage, somehow blows a coverage, and a guy's wide open. This year, even though there are a couple of penalties trying to make plays on the ball, it just feels like the back end, the secondary, is significantly more on a receiver. They're in position to make plays, and these young guys are going to have to learn. Then I look at the defensive line, and I say, like, I think their defensive line is getting better push, and I think that they're getting more unique looks at the front to be able to hide their disguises to hit quarterbacks. I'm seeing way more versatility through a couple games.
There's more speed on the field, and I think that's something that it naturally comes when you're the third youngest defense in football. When you're young, you're typically faster.
Is that what they are?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think they're the second or third oldest offense in football, but they're the third youngest defense.
I didn't know that.
By average age.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but it makes sense. It's like you're seeing five or six rookies on the field in a given moment. They got a ton of youth out there. And I think that Saleh, yes, has, and Fred Warner said it yesterday, Willard and Dibbs, like, it's put them in a position to play faster. But compared to last year, Shasky, there's so many more, and it's, again, it's early, but it feels like, all right, an opponent will dump the ball to a Kamara or to a Kenneth Walker, both, like, pretty good playmakers with the ball in their hand. And within seconds, boom, there's a guy on the ball. Like, that is a characteristic, I think, of a good defense that there's not been much yards after catch, I think, by either of the first two opponents.
The thing that, you know, we've talked a lot about Saleh and Sorensen and just kind of the contrast between the two of them. Ev, I went back, I watched every single game before the season started of last year. George Odom was a terrible safety. No, like, he was terrible. Like, I think we've forgotten.
It was about the drip.
He was terrible. Isaac Yiadom, who was playing for the New Orleans Saints over the weekend, played way too much for the Niners and was getting targeted over and over and over again and had horrific penalties and just got abused. Devondre Campbell played so bad. Every team in the flat and on these Texas angle routes with running backs was attacking him.
I'm glad he quit.
I mean, he was awful. And I just keep coming back to, like, was D. Winters that bad last year? Has he taken such a big leap this year? How could that guy not get on the field? Was he just injured? It's just, it's bizarre to me. Their personnel has been upgraded by a bunch of rookies, and I don't know how good these rookies are, but they're better than those three that they had last year. And that isn't just the sole reason why their defense was bad, but also their defensive line was terrible. Like, it was terrible. Leonard Floyd was so absent in so many plays. I saw a lot from Bryce Huff in this game. I know the strip sack at the end is the one that everyone's going to point to. I counted three other plays where he's bending around like D. Ford would, where he's speeding and, like, getting low with that shoulder around the tackle and, like, leaping at the quarterback. He's a dynamic pass rusher. I don't know about a run stuffer, but he's a dynamic pass rusher.
That's the thing. Yeah, when he's deployed properly, he's incredible. Yeah. He got to the quarterback in 2.24 seconds. That's it. That's being shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, it is.
Literally the quickest defensive lineman to the quarterback in the NFL this season. So, but again, he's not someone that's going to
the little nuggy nugs.
Just, you know, I'd read a couple articles here and there. I think that I don't cite my sources. The thing is, though, you're right. He's not going to line up and stop Alvin Kamara in the hole. That's not what he's there for. No. And it just feels like now they have more ways to, I don't know if it's deploy guys properly, but Saleh just has a better understanding of this group.
Even like Alfred Collins, just showing a couple of plays of pushing dudes, hitting the quarterback, there's more than I saw in the preseason. It's like, all right, well, I got now faith that, like, is he trending in the right direction? Like, I thought this dude was just going to be a big bust, Alfred Collins. Like, that was their second round pick. It was extremely important that they at least not have a complete whiff at that pick because it's a valuable pick for them. And when you see a guy make a play and splash a little, you're like, all right, things are going in the right direction. And D. Winters has been outstanding. I can't get over how fast and how sure of a tackler he looks. And he's always in position. He looks really good.
Well, and so far, their choice to take, was it five or six defensive players in the draft?
Yeah.
That's proven to be the correct choice. They look completely different on that side of the football.
Marquis Siegel, even though he's gotten beat, he's on the ball. He's making plays like right on a guy. Johnson made a hell of a catch on that red zone. And Spencer Rattler was abusing Renardo Green. Mm-hmm. Renardo Green was on multiple of those plays. Like, you can't cover it much better. Sometimes the other guys get paid too. And it's Chris Olave. He makes pretty acrobatic catches. Like, he's a really good player. So I think there's a lot of baptism by fire going on defense, but I'm seeing the rookies in the right spot. I'm seeing them make plays. I like where we're at.
Well, we're going to catch up with Matt Lively, talk to him more about the San Francisco 49ers and also the big playoff game tonight at SAP Center. The Golden State Valkyries take on the Minnesota Lynx at 7 o'clock. You can catch the action on ESPN, actually, but of course, right here on 95.7 The Game. Also download the Valkyries app on the Odyssey channel to get all the action. Kevin Dano is going to be on the call tonight for you. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Frontier Ford. Hurry to Frontier Ford to lease the all-electric Mustang Mach-E for just $225 a month or buy with 0% APR for 72 months, plus a $2,000 rebate. But don't wait. The federal EV tax credits on Mach-E and F-150 Lightning expire in September at the end of the month on the 30th. So browse their huge inventory at FrontierFord.com. Coming up next on the River Islands guest line, Matt Lively of KPIX is going to join the Morning Roast. Getting Zim for Spadoni with Shasky. We're back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
He's huge on it. The American Conference, it's quite competitive.
Knowing Steiny, he'll be rooting for Europe in the Ryder Cup, right?
For Europe? Oh, probably. Well, they got a lot of good players, don't they?
They're probably the favorite this year, especially considering that, you know, all the great American golfers on LIV aren't going to be able to qualify for the American team. So, well, but he's fired up for the Valkyries, and Goo's fired up as well. So, I mean, who's fired up?
Also, too, it's like one of those weird things that goes on, you know, the international versus national or domestic. Labor Cup's the one, I think, sport or event where you actually have Europe versus the world.
That's what the Ryder Cup. So the Ryder Cup is Europe versus America.
Oh, it is. Okay.
So it's like basically Great Britain and what do they call it? GBI? They have like a name for it. Great Britain and Ireland versus America. And then the President's Cup for golf is America versus the rest of the world.
But they have other, it's not just Great Britain. John Rahm played for
for Spain.
Year,
yeah. Yes.
Gotcha.
For example, like Ernie Els wasn't a part of it because he's South African, right, for many, many years, or Vijay Singh. And so, you know, it's just different.
Let's get out to the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Matt Lively, KPIX, joining us right now on 95.7 The Game. Matt, what's going on, man? Evan in for Spadoni. How you doing?
What's going on, fellas? Not much. Exciting playoff Wednesday.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a win-or-go-home game tonight at 7 o'clock for the Valkyries. You know, I understand game one certainly did not go in their favor after that first quarter. But, you know, when you think about the Valkyries and just how they've gotten to this point, Matt, if they're able to push it to a third game, that would be fantastic. But I kind of feel like the win is being in at this point for this team right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask them, they unfortunately they won't say that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not even unfortunately, but like that's just the expectations that they have for themselves, which is really impressive in year one that they've set this bar for themselves that's higher than I think any fan or any other team around the league would have ever set for them, but that's just kind of the way that Natalie Nicasse coaches up her team. I would certainly say getting to the playoffs, winning more games than any other expansion team, that was the win in itself. But when I've asked her about that, she certainly doesn't view it like that. And I think that's probably why they're so successful.
You know, the Giants have been a team going back to New York for, what, 160 years? They've been in this market since 1958. The Warriors started in Philadelphia in 46 and came over here in the 60s. And then you have, obviously, the 49ers born and raised 1946. We know that the A's were here and the Raiders were here. But for this to be an upstart team and to catch on so quick with this community, why do you think it is? With no backstory, with nothing other than just a full-on expansion, why are people in this community so emotionally attached to this team if it does end tonight? Like, I find this to be one of the more fascinating seasons I've ever seen in sports in this market, because just out of nowhere, poof, here's this team, and everyone cares.
Well, I think the most important thing is it isn't just in this market. Like, when you look at national attention of the league, and when you turn on ESPN and you look at which team they're talking about, I almost always look up and they're talking about the Valkyries. And I think the reason is for that is exactly what they say. They're a bunch of six women who are on this team that got thrown into starting roles and are somehow successful. It's kind of like the 2010 Giants, right? Like, you looked at the roster at the beginning of the year and you thought, all right, they might not do a whole lot. Natalie Nicasse just said last week, we were expected to finish last. No one had us making the playoffs. The win total was 8. And somehow, this group of players that weren't stars on other teams have completely come in and thrown the league off. And it's hard for anybody to not get behind that. I think anybody, even if you're not a sports fan, can watch their story and go, wow, that's pretty incredible that they did this in year one when these were a bunch of players who were counted out their whole careers. Veronica Burton, who just won the most improved player, was literally cut last season. This wasn't like she was cut 5 years ago and has slowly gotten better. She was literally cut by Dallas last season and has turned into a star. So I think that's why it's so easy for everyone to get behind them.
We're chatting with Matt Lively here on 95.7 The Game with KPIX, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And Matt, it's obviously unfortunate that they don't have this playoff game at Chase Center, but I imagine with what you're talking about, just the ultimate embracing of this group, I mean, I for one am excited to just see playoff WNBA basketball in the Bay Area, and I have to imagine that even though Ball Hall is going to be temporarily moved for a night, you're expecting the same atmosphere, no?
They sold out every single game at Chase Center. If anything, I would say this is now just an opportunity for fans in the South Bay who maybe can't get up to Chase Center on a weeknight to see their team up close and personal. Hey, we thought when the Savannah Bananas went on the road, they weren't going to be very successful, right? Yeah. I'm not comparing the Savannah Bananas to the Valkyries, but I'm saying there's a fan base there already in place. And if they're selling out Chase Center, which when you travel around the country and go to all these different WNBA venues, they don't even have the upper bowl available for purchase. All these other teams are putting black curtains, almost like the Oakland A's used to do. You couldn't sit up there. The Valkyries don't have that issue. So I think going an hour south is not going to be detrimental to the crowd tonight.
So my mom's been to a couple of games. She went to the Caitlin Clark game, and she went to another one. And the Caitlin Clark game is a game she said she'll remember forever just by how the crowd was reacting. But the one that she thought was even more rememberable was when they lost by 10 and the entire crowd gave him a standing ovation for like 6 straight minutes after the game. She said she's never seen anything like that in professional sports. If the season ends tonight, what is the image or the moment for you that you'll never forget for the Valkyries' first season?
All right, it's funny you asked that because I actually have 3 quick stories. And I'll answer all 3. It'll all tie together. The Caitlin Clark game is the first time that we did a post-game interview where I was going up on the Jumbotron, but I did not realize this. I thought it was just a post-game interview on the broadcast. So all of a sudden, I start interviewing Tiffany Hayes, and I'm like, man, I've got crazy reverb in my IFB. And I realized we're going through the whole stadium. No one had told me it was going to be broadcast out. And that's the first time I realized, like, oh, my God, these fans are nuts, because they were going crazy for Tip Hayes as I interviewed her. Second one, they lose by 10. Vern Glenn's about to toss out to me, and he's going, Matt, what's the crowd like right now? Is it pretty, you know, down and gloomy? And I said, Vern, you're not going to believe this, but there's literally a standing ovation right now. Like, fans are still going crazy. And I think the image that stays with me was just last week or 2 weeks ago when they clinched their postseason, and I got to interview Janelle Salon, and she kind of grabs the mic from me and just screams, let's go. I mean, that felt like all the emotion of the season built up into one phrase, let's go. Like, they did it. Like, we made the postseason. We have arrived. I'll never forget that for the rest of my career.
Well, and hopefully, Matt, they can push it to one more game as well. And who knows, maybe find a way to upset the top seed. And, of course, the runner-ups last year in the WNBA, that's the Minnesota Lynx. I do want to ask you, Matt, and we're talking with Matt Lively of KPIX here on 95.7 The Game, about the San Francisco 49ers start. 2-0, one of those games with a backup quarterback. There's kind of a lot to pick from, Matt, but we were tossing this around earlier. Like, what has stood out to you the most about the San Francisco 49ers team through 2 weeks?
That's a good question, and I'm going to default to Nick Bosa here. He brought up after Sunday's game, they have won now two games this season that they lost last year. Those games that came down to the end where they might have had a lead or they might have had a chance to go down and ice the game, they lost those games last year. And so far, they went down the field, scored a touchdown, Jake Tongis, week one, and then Nick Bosa gets a sack as the Seahawks were driving. They win that game. Then in New Orleans, they let the Saints hang around, but ultimately Bryce Huff, like a missile, comes off the outside on 4th and 2, and they seal the win. Those are games they lost last year. Last year, honestly, is summed up by Geno Smith running in a touchdown with 13 seconds at Levi's Stadium against the Seahawks in a game I never thought the 49ers were going to lose. That's when I knew the season was doomed. And so far, two games, it's not happened yet.
Well, are you happy you don't have to, like, talk about the kicker? No, I'm serious. Like,
well,
now we're on to the quarterback situation.
Miss the extra point. He did miss the extra point right off the bat. I'm going, oh, boy, Eddie Pinheiro, just make this.
You know what that looked like, Matt? That looked like you at Backyard 9 hitting golf shots for the Giants stadium when they do
right
this.
Right.
Yeah, I'm teasing, dude.
Yeah, you're not wrong, though. I mean, honestly, I hit a couple too many balls into McCovey Cove, unfortunately. Hopefully those are balls that are fine for the whales out there. No Seinfeld.
I love it. I love it. The team does seem to be rallying around Mac Jones. Like, I'm not trying to put an artificial quarterback controversy into place. I'm just saying that I think the guys are happy for Mac Jones, and I'm happy for him. And we were talking yesterday about there's two story arcs in life that I think we love, whether it's pop culture, movies, sports. Rags to riches and the redemption story. And it feels like Brock Purdy's that rags to riches story, and Mac Jones is that redemption story. Do you agree?
Totally. Be honest with me. How many times have you guys played Return of the Mac over the last 3 days?
Not once. Not once, but we do have a different Mike Jones, a.k.a. Mac Jones one that we created.
Okay, that's great. That's great.
Mac Jones!
I totally agree with you. I mean, Mac Jones, a guy that, well, I mean, how cool is it? This is the guy that everybody wanted Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch to draft a couple years ago. Straight up to 3. They don't draft him. Ends up coming years later, two teams removed, and he balls out in his first game. I didn't think it was a perfect game, by the way. I mean, when you look at the numbers, you're like, wow, he played really well. There were certainly things to clean up. He'd probably be the first to admit that. But you can't really ask more of a backup QB to come in and spot you some wins while Brock Purdy's out.
Mac Jones!
There it is. Well, the fact that he had 273 touchdowns, probably the best statistical game of his career and got 51 starts, like, that's Kyle Shanahan to me, and it's got me feeling so much, Matt, that like this team could beat the Arizona Cardinals for their home opener in Week 3, which was not a feeling that I felt when you get the news that Brock Purdy goes down with turf toe for 2 to 5 weeks. It's like, oh my gosh, is that going to spoil the home opener the first time Levi Stadium opens its gates? They're favored in this game by 1.5 points. I mean, do you think that's fair, especially the way they looked in New Orleans?
I definitely think it's fair. I mean, look, the Saints played the Cardinals tight week one. Then the Cardinals last week really let the Panthers hang around. They were up in that game, and then all of a sudden, Carolina had a chance to win it. It's one of those things, you know, the Cardinals are never a team that I'm going to go, oh, boy, watch out. Like, this is going to be the most grueling game on Sunday. And you know what? Even if they do lose, I've been saying this since training camp. Look at the back half of the 49ers schedule. Look at what it looks like when you get both George Kittle and Brock Purdy back healthy. There's a chance for them to go on a legitimate 5-6-game winning streak where they have teams like the Titans and the Bears all in the mix. So you drop one early here when some of your guys are injured and banged up. You can move past that. They just got to get to the back half of this schedule with a record over 500 and then just put it in cruise control.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate catching up with you. Have a great time tonight down, of course, with the Golden State Valkyries. And good luck to them and yourself.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See you soon, dude.
At Lively KPIX. Yeah, and I know he kind of gave us the reasoning, and I understand why AP Coach of the Year Natalie Nicasse has poo-pooed the whole, well, this is just a win by getting into the playoffs. And that's probably the reason why they've gotten as far as they have, Shasky. But they've done something no other expansion team has done in the history of this league, which is turn in a playoff season in their first year. So it's really hard for me to feel like if they lose tonight that it's really a loss. You know what I'm saying?
They've had a great year. I mean, they've had a great year. There were zero expectations, and they've far exceeded them. I've watched way more minutes, full games, than I ever thought that I ever would at any point in my life.
Well, the expectation was for them to be bad. I remember reading
bad. I mean, you're an expansion team. Yeah, you're not going to be relevant for multiple years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is I remember reading an article from ESPN at the beginning of the season that the average amount of wins from an expansion team is like 7.5. That's why their win total was 8, as Matt pointed out. And so for them to do what they've done, especially considering they've had a bunch of injuries, they have had players go in and out for different overseas tournaments, like. They have had to go through a lot, I think, behind the scenes that we're not obviously privy to, and it really hasn't mattered.
And they lost their best player. I mean, there's just a lot that's been going on for this team right now. And the future is very bright, and you start kind of like dreaming about who could they get in free agency? Who could they get?
Ionescu?
I mean, you know, Bonte wants Asia Wilson. I don't think that's realistic, but... You never know.
you never know with Joe Lacob. He's a guy who thinks big, even if sometimes it doesn't come to fruition.
I want to ask you about Mac and Brock Purdy.
Let's talk about it.
I opened the show yesterday, and I was talking about there are two story arcs that just in life we love. There's the Rag to Riches one, you know, the Scarface, the come up, right? Just like, you were nothing, and now you're something.
Yep.
Whether it's an actor or a movie or pop culture or whatever it might be. You know, there's just that element is always going to be there. The Kurt Warner stories, the Mike Piazza stories, guys that were overlooked and somehow found a way to be one of the greats. And then there's the other story arc, which is the redemption. For whatever reason, you were needing to be humiliated and humbled by America. And then you fell on your face and you ate the humble pie and you're better for it. And now we root for you. You know, the Robert Downey Jr.'s, Tiger Woods to a degree, Baker Mayfield to a degree, right? Good Will Hunting is a movie that I always think of when I think of that. Like, you got to be humbled. And I feel like Brock Purdy represents that rags to riches, out of nowhere story arc that we love in movies and in culture. And then Mac Jones is kind of like the other arc, which is the redemption story arc. And I just think both are really cool. And it's freaking awesome that we bought both these guys here. And then you like go down the rabbit hole and you start comparing and contrasting. And you're like, all right, Brock, in the regular season, Brock started 37 games. Mac Jones has started 50. It's kind of crazy.
I mean, Mac Jones.
You're not surprised?
That he's in this position now?
No, that he started more games than Brock Purdy. Like, in my mind, for whatever reason, I was like, Max, you know, even though I know they're almost, you know, the same age, like, 50 games is a lot of games in the NFL for Mac Jones at such a young age.
Well, I think you get that many games when you had the kind of rookie season that he did.
Yes.
I mean, he was a Pro Bowler. They made the playoffs. I think it was the year after or 2 years after they moved on from Brady. Mm-hmm. And there was this idea of like, well, could Mac Jones be the next? So I kind of understand it. I mean, that team also was in no position to draft a new quarterback. That team stunk. So there was no expectation for Mac Jones. Now, you know, it's funny. Like, he, to me, is less of a redemption story based on how many starts he got than someone like Sam Darnold, who was just kind of tossed around between teams.
I mean, Darnold never had, before the Vikings, the success that Mac had in that 1 year. But I do also believe there was a... Whether it's real or not, I feel like we perceived Mac Jones with the cigar and everything. We got like a, oh, he's too arrogant. I do think that there was an element of that. And I think there was also Patriot pushback.
I think it is.
Nationally.
Yeah, well, look, anytime you're associated with the Patriots.
And Bama.
Belichick. Yeah, I think Belichick and Saban were his two head coaches. Like,
exactly.
You just kind of get the feeling that this guy's arrogant. I haven't heard that whatsoever.
Like, no.
He doesn't give me that type of feeling at all.
No, but I do think that people wanted to see him knock down a peg for whatever reason.
I also think that, well, let me ask you this. As a 49ers fan who, I mean, you were there when people thought that Shanahan wanted him and then they took Trey. It's like, were you preying on his downfall a little bit just because you didn't want it to be the wrong choice?
Maybe it was baked into it subconsciously. Sure, you know, but I always thought he was solid. I didn't think he, and now my thought is I almost think almost no one is, even if you're a Pro Bowler. Nobody's worth three picks to trade up to get. My whole thought on Mac was, and I said it on many shows, if you stay at 15, whatever they were at, 12, I think they were at 12, 11, whatever they were at that year, stay there if you like Mac Jones and take him. No one's jumping you to go get him. Now, I know Schefter has said, oh, the Patriots were going to jump up and get him. That just doesn't seem like Belichick to me, and he was the one who was running that team. If you're going to trade up, you take a big swing. Like, that's, I don't think Travis Hunter's worth whatever Jacksonville moved up to go get him. I don't think he's a great receiver. I would be playing him at cornerback, personally. I think it's harder to find those guys than it is wide receivers. But I don't think he's worth moving up to go get. But I get it because of the talent, and it's a huge swing. I would have stood pat and took Mac Jones. I didn't like trading up three picks to go get him.
I didn't like trading three picks for someone you didn't know was going to be there. Like, they, I think Shanahan has effectively admitted that they were just going to take the third best quarterback.
Yeah, I don't like that strategy either.
At least the Jacksonville Jaguars, well, I don't think it's...
They knew who they were targeting.
Yeah, they knew which player they wanted.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, to me, if you're trading up, you're trading up for a guy. You're not trading up for a position.
Like when the Falcons moved up to go get Julio.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Yeah. I mean, shoot, you could... I mean, think about... the last time the Niners did that, it was in the third round. But it's like, they will sometimes move up to go get individuals, you know? Jake Moody. They really wanted Jake Moody. They didn't think that he was going to be there after the third round, so they took him.
Jerry Rice is one of the more famous ones. They moved up to 10 or whatever to go get him, and everyone's like, what? Who? They wanted some other guy. I forget if it's Cincinnati or the Bears. Somebody else drafted the guy that they wanted, and they went and got Jerry Rice, and everyone's like, you can't do that. And he was crushed his rookie year. He has no hands, no separation, and ended up being the greatest pick, you know, one of the greatest picks in Niner history.
Yeah, that's one you're not going to look back on and say, we missed that one up. Let's go to Steve. Steve is in the city. Wants to talk
what's
about the 49ers. Steve, good morning, man. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I wanted to follow up and expound upon Chasky's discussion about this defense. I got to say, I am so pleasantly surprised by this unit. They not only have their identity back, but like Robert Saleh's stamp is...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Already all over it. And considering the inexperience, how young, like, I'm curious your thoughts here, Shasky, but, like, they're currently sixth in total D. I think they're playing at a level in the first 2 weeks that I did not only not expect, but the hope would have been that they'd be playing like this at the end of October or November.
I completely agree. They're farther along at this stage than I thought they'd be. I still think they're going to be a work in progress. I don't think we've seen an offense robust enough to really give them the true test that we're going to be getting over the next couple of weeks. But they are definitely farther. Like, I thought they'd be ugly to start the year. I mean, you're playing on defense alone. Siegel, rookie, starter. Stout, it's the nickel, but he's a starter. He's
rookie.
Yeah, rookie starter. Renardo Green, played 1 year, okay? 1 year. D. Winters, has not played a full season. He's in year three, but he hasn't played a full season. He's unknown. Mykel Williams, starter, rookie. I look at the other safety spot. Jason Pinnock, he's been on three different teams. He's a new player to the system. And then I look at, obviously, Alfred Collins and C.J. West. Those guys are rotational pieces on that defensive line. Like, there's just a lot of unknown. You're playing a lot of young guys. And for them to be this good so quick, it's Robert Saleh. And to me, it's the guys are in spots to make plays, which means they got the right guys who've got a good instinct. They're calling the right sets and the right coverages. And the disguising at the line of scrimmage is so much better than it's been in the last 2 years.
I mean, look, this is the thing. If you go up and down their starters so far, on a given day, between week one and week two, they've had 5 to 6 different starters than last year. So it's not just the rookies. You're right. You're Siegel, the Stouts, the Mykel Williamses. Khalia Davis has never started before in his career.
Jordan Elliott.
He made a big play on Sunday against the Saints. You look at someone who started week one, Luke Gifford. That guy has not started in the NFL before.
I said to the guys here, I go,
who is that guy?
Who the hell is 57 white guy? Who is that guy?
Luke Gifford. He hasn't been a starter yet. So even if they're not necessarily rookies, as you mentioned, D. Winters has not been a starter in the NFL before. Those are five fresh new faces, and for the most part, they have not skipped a beat. The one thing that against the Saints, like first drive, there's a drop touchdown by Olave.
Oh, he's got to catch that pass. I don't care that it's behind him. That should have been 6, and then they missed a field goal.
Exactly. So there's been some situations where I think because of the talent they played against, mainly last week, all right, well, let's see how you do against some more buttoned-up groups. But the point is that this defense, to me, is... it's going to be good enough to keep them, especially with some of the teams they play, mm-hmm. some of the lower-level groups. Like, that defense is going to be allowed to eat most Sundays.
I'll throw this at you. If right now, if you were to say Spagnuolo and Andy Reid and Sirianni and Vic Fangio are the top two in the league in terms of head coach defensive coordinators, how far down do you got to get before you get to Saleh and Shanahan as a combination?
I mean, they're probably top 10 for sure. Yeah, I think so.
Do you think most people have him top five?
Probably by naming power, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, look, you have a DC who's been a head coach. That's pretty rare.
And he knows what he's doing, at least on defense. I think we would all agree. And look, you got to play the whole season out.
And they've worked together before. I think that really does matter. I think that's one of the reasons why Shanahan has been, I don't know if it's less aggressive, but I do think that there's been less times that I've seen through 2 weeks where it feels like he doesn't trust his defense to get a stop, and that impacts how he calls a play.
Totally, no doubt. I mean, there was a situation where there was a 4th-and-2 from the 28, and they kicked the field goal, and I'm thinking to myself, in my head, if he trusts the kicker, does he take that kick?
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't trust the defense, is he taking that kick? So I don't think it's either or. I think they're kind of go hand in hand, right? And so, like, these are all these, like, hey, we could go for it. We could not go for it. Like, you're weighing all these options. And I do believe having a kicker you trust and having a defensive coordinator you trust to get a stop or two or to figure things out definitely eases your mind on taking that field goal attempt from the 28-yard line on 4th-and-2 as opposed to going for it and maybe possibly not converting and turning it over right there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about rankings as far as, you know, Shanahan and Salah. They're certainly up there.
I know, but I threw it at you randomly.
Well, no, I mean, I just honestly don't know. Haven't reviewed all 32 defensive coordinators, to be honest. But what I do think is fair would be to say that of all of the 2-0 teams, Shanahan and Salah deserve the most credit of the play callers.
All right.
Like, between coordinators on both sides of the football, you're thinking about, they've won a game with a backup quarterback. The defense has helped you make stops using as many of the rookies and new players as we've talked about. And that's why, after watching the game Sunday, Shanahan, I was kind of reevaluating how I feel about how much coaching matters. Because I'm generally a guy that's like, look, players play, coaches coach, but it's mostly on the guys on the field.
This sport, more than any other sport.
It's wild, man.
Well, scheme matters. Like, okay, does Vic Fangio know what he's doing?
Yeah, 100%, because you saw the Eagles defense 2 years ago compared to last year.
He runs a 3-4. I watched him firsthand with the Niners. He was awesome. But there were certain guys that just didn't fit his scheme at all. Bryce Huff's one of those guys. Like, he's a 4-3 defensive end, third down specialist. I don't think D Ford would have fit Vic Fangio's scheme either. I don't know if Nick Bosa would be a perfect fit. I bet he'd find a way to make him good. But very specific players fit in both schemes that they're running, Salas and Vic Fangio. I don't think Fangio is some bum because he doesn't know how to use Bryce Huff properly. It just doesn't work for what he's trying to do. Conversely, Salah's the perfect fit for someone like Bryce Huff, who can only really do one or two things very, 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 very well. I do believe coaching is extremely important. I watched it with Alex Smith, watched it with Frank Gore, watched it with Vernon Davis. Go more currently, like, we kind of saw it with Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, like, you know, now there's a whole physical element where I think his body also deteriorated and he got gun shy. But, like, coaching really matters in this sport more than any other. It's the only sport where they call every single play. And it's really like, you got to get in the huddle, stop what we're doing, we're calling every single play. You know, like, yeah, a lot of times pitcher can dictate how they want to pitch the game. They've got influence in it. I mean, heck, if you're Blake Snell, you're out here literally doing the pitch com and telling your catcher what game you're calling.
Yeah. Well, here's Fred Warner literally talking about that subject, what Robert Saleh brings to this defense.
Yeah, I mean, Saleh's just been around the block, man. He's been there. He's done it at a high level for a long time. You know, he obviously had a stint in New York being the head coach. But, I mean, he knows football through and through, not just defense, but offense. And I think that helps with how he prepares for these different offenses week in and week out. And he puts us in just the perfect position to go out there and play fast, man, eliminating all gray area. He knows the exact calls to put us in certain situations within the game. So there's never a moment where, you know, I'm wondering what we should be. He just knows. It's almost like he's a fortune teller, man. This dude knows everything, I feel like. So it gives such confidence for a player to just go out there and play free, man. I love having him back.
You know, it's funny, like, you were saying that you don't believe, like, necessarily, like, players play. I agree. You got to have the right players. You got to have personnel.
Yeah.
Right? You can be the greatest coach ever. If you don't have players, like, you're going to stink. Just
There's just no other way around it. Like, Belichick, the GM, did in Belichick, the coach. It's not that he forgot how to coach. Now, I also think we underrate the skill of coaching. Guys have, like a player, they have things they're very good at and things that they're not very good at. You know, Andy Reid wasn't great with time management.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious. You know what I mean? Building a staff is a skill. Communicating up and down the organization is a skill. Harbaugh had to get better at that skill. That's why he wasn't good at the end with the Niners. I think this fan base, there's others that you could point to, but this fan base really values coaches. When you talk about the Niner, like, glory days, Montana Walsh, it's like synonymous. Like, you cannot bring up Montana without bringing up Walsh. You cannot talk about the glory days of the Niners without talking about Walsh. We almost give Walsh all the credit for everything Seifert did. Like, you know what I mean? When they went through the dark days after Walsh and you get to Dennis Erickson and Mike Nolan and all that, the next propped up set, Harbaugh. We don't really give Kaepernick and Alex and that defense and all that personnel like their appropriate just due. Harbaugh did that, you know, and he was a part of it. He was a big part of it. And then Harbaugh leaves and it's like, well, we're back down to terribleness again. And then here comes Shanahan. The coach here is as big of a star as any position player can be.
And I think that's the way it is in the NFL. Like, people and teams are judged, I think a lot of times, on who their head coach is. Like, the Rams. I know that Stafford's their quarterback, and, you know, they got some big... It's Sean McVay's team.
No doubt. He's a very effervescent personality.
And he hasn't been in the league for all that long. When you think of the Chiefs, yes, you think of Kelsey, you think of Mahomes, but you think of Andy Reid.
No doubt.
And I just think that, to your point, like, yes, some sports are a little bit different, but for football specifically, and we're learning with the Niners this year, like, the switch that Shanahan made, and obviously had to last year, it really, really matters on defense. All right, it's time to get to Fast Five.
Yep.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
All right, I'll start today. It's the Mac Jones disrespect. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about backup quarterback rankings. ESPN apparently came out with one yesterday, the 12 best backup quarterbacks.
Who's number one?
Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, Jake Browning, Jackson Dart, Marcus Mariota, Tanner McKee, Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew, Tyler Shuck, Anthony Richardson, Anthony Dalton, Carson Wentz. Where's Mac Jones? This guy just won a football game for you, throwing three touchdowns with a 112 quarterback rating. Can we get my guy into the top 12?
Did you say Jameis?
No, Jameis is not on that list.
Wow.
I'll take Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I agree with those top two. No, Jameis is 12, yeah. I agree with those top two, though.
Kirk's done. Did you guys see him? Can't move.
Well, especially if you're paying him $40 million a year. Anyways, I just had to stick up for Mac a little bit. You know. What do you got?
My final thought is Fred Warner said that his first date was In-N-Out Burger.
Yes, he did.
Think I'm going to go to In-N-Out Burger today.
Attaboy.
Think I'm going to go there right after this show.
You got your order?
What's wrong, Carter? Why are you saying those two-letter words to me through the glass?
I'm jealous, man. I'm really jealous.
I'm going to get a double-double with no onions, and I'm going to get fries, and I'm going to get one of those tuxedo, you know, shakes. And, yeah, I think that's on deck, like, immediately after this show, like, right now.
It's kind of a weak order, but all right.
Yeah, no onions? What are you, six?
I don't like onions. I'm a green onion guy, not red or yellow. I don't really care much.
Not going to go full Tim Lincecum? Six double-doubles, two shakes, and three animal-style fries?
When we were in high school, there were no In-N-Outs in the city of San Francisco, nor in Daly City at the time. Mm. And God rest his soul, Greg Morris and a couple of my buddies were arguing about whether he could eat a 4x4 while driving with one hand and changing the songs on. This is back in, like, CD days where you'd have, like, a CD deck and a remote control. And he was driving. I believe they were in Marin County, was with the closest In-N-Out Burger. I could be wrong. Maybe it was Novato. And they drove all the way from the city after school to prove that he could drive while controlling his CD deck and eating a 4x4. God rest your soul, Greg and Chris. Love you guys. Miss you.
What do you got, Carter? Or Sam, sorry.
Well, my final thought is, you know what, Giants, I'm glad that you at least made this last month not as awful as it probably could have been. But now I'm just thinking about In-N-Out now, too. And, like, I'm trying to think where the closest In-N-Out is to where I live in Oakland. And I gotta get animal style fries with every In-N-Out meal I get. I'll crush those things all day long.
The fries have grown on me over the years.
They're not the greatest fries.
No, they're
in the
not
fast
the greatest.
Food kingdom,
I agree.
But they,
but they've grown on me.
They have a good place, and that's why I need the animal style. Like the animal style sauce does kind of enhance the fry enough, but. You know what? In-N-Out does not need to rest its laurels on its fries. It's got a great enough burger as is. It's top tier.
I'm telling you, dude, there is no better feeling than when you've been on a diamond in the middle of summer and you're at like some tournament all day and it's 110 degrees and you're on your way back and you got a car full. It's just stinky ass dudes and everyone's playing ball with the kids that you're coaching and you're like, Chick-fil-A or In-N-Out Burger, and everyone's arguing in the back, and you pick one or the other, and everyone's in the car like, yeah!
Who's picking Chick-fil-A there? That is...
Chick-fil-A's pretty far.
Chick-fil-A's, they're both delicious.
I'm in a minority on Chick-fil-A.
What's up, Carter? What do you got?
Well, what I've got is...
You have to play the music down.
For what?
For the Valks tonight. Let's go, Valkyries, baby! Come on, we about to get this dub. We're moving on to the second round after the game three, which is what, Friday or Saturday?
It's on Friday. They got to win tonight.
We're going to get through tonight. I'm calling them. They get through tonight. They're winning Friday. Let's go.
Love the confidence. 7 o'clock tip right here on 95.7 The Game. Golden State Valkyries will take on the Minnesota Lynx in game two. Win or go home tonight, Shaskin.
I'm telling you, dude. There's nothing better than that you pull into the parking lot, you get into the deep line. You know the line. We all get into the line. And it's a wait. There's no doubt about it. The feeling that everyone has that you've actually accomplished something to go get an In-N-Out Burger, it's the best. I don't care what anyone says. It's the best. I love In-N-Out.
And
it's
that
delicious.
Was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity, introducing the 5-year price guarantee, one consistent internet price for the next 5 years guaranteed. Spadoni back tomorrow. Giddings with Sasky. Big thank you to him. Sandy Gruber next, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to a 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.